Good morning, everyone. How are you doing today? Got a little rain. Beautiful sunshine out there right now. It is something else. Let me see. We're going to start with 407, please, and let's stand. 407. That's too quick on that, wasn't it? Sorry.
All the way my Savior leads me, what if I cast beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divine is comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know
Father, thank You for this beautiful day You give us, Lord, to come to Your house to worship You. Thank You, Lord, for those that made it here, the good week we had, Lord. Get things done, Your protection, Your provision, Lord, all that You do for us. Thank You for this great nation we live in, Lord. I pray for our leaders, Lord. I know the nation's problems, but thank You for it, Lord, that we can still experience some freedom yet. Thank You, Lord, for the freedom to being able to come to Your house today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we sit alongside our pastor speaking today, Lord, that You would open our hearts as we open the Bible. And as pastor preaches, Lord, that whatever it is You have for us today would really sink in, Lord, that we might be able to use in our daily Christian lives as we leave the building today. Lord, I pray, Lord, if someone in this crowd today doesn't know You, Lord, that they would get right, Lord, today before they leave. Today is the hour of salvation, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that those folks would know. Be with us again, Lord. Thank You so much again for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 814, please. 814.
Shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains. sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, singing, greater far than all my sin and shame. Magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have picked asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches. Grace for even me, broader than the scope of my transgressions, singing, greater far than all my sin and shame. Magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by His transforming power, making Him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, singing, greater far than all my sin and shame. Now magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
Thank you. Let's see, tonight, 6 o'clock, we have book studies night. Those are really good, folks. You're missing out there if you ain't coming. Prayer and Bible study Wednesday night at 7. Personal evangelism is September 20th, and the Wilton Bible Studies is set at the 29th September. Fellowship coming up here next week, end, if God tarries. Kitchen team involved there is Zelpa Patsy and Autumn. Marilyn Lovin is now in Lutheran Homes, room number 614. Pastor's thought for the week. It's a little more than that. It's Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls is wise. Good thinking there. Pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? Yeah, okay. Guys, you come forward now. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for the beautiful day, the opportunity to come here today, getting all these folks out, Lord, here today. And also, Lord, the chance to give a small portion back to you. Lord, help us to remember just to tell you, Lord, that we love you. You loved us first, Lord. You'll love us always, no matter what we do or what we are or where we're at, Lord. You always will love us. Help us, Lord, to remember to send a small bit of love back to you, Lord, each and every day of our lives. Be this now to take us off, and Lord, be it the gift from the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. We have a very brief business meeting after the morning service tomorrow, so make sure you stick around with that. Won't last a few seconds, I'm sure. And Doug's going to sing for us now.
Okay, I guess I should have had somebody usher for me this morning. I had quite a week. This is one of the toughest weeks I've had in my life since the farm crisis. John, testify about that. It's been a long time since I had a lot of things happening. But started out with I was working on my truck. You know, it's in a wreck, so we're trying to fix it up. Being that it's hard to find another vehicle these days. And then at my best friend's funeral Thursday, Gary Schingledecker, some of you might have known him. And then we go to the other opposite end of the spectrum yesterday. We went to Matt and Jane's wedding yesterday. So it was a hectic week for sure. So it's good to know the Lord is with us every step of the way. You know, anything we experience, good and bad, he's by our side. And that's the title of my song, He Was There All the Time. And I just want to read a verse in Hebrews. Some of you know it, I'm sure, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. It says, oh, I'm sorry, I got the 13:5. I got the two numbers mixed up. Hebrews 13:5. And you'll recognize the words as I read them. Let your manner of conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. So that's great words of assurance, and many songs have been written with that in mind. And this is one of them. He was there all the time. Time after time I went searching for peace in some void. I was trying to blame all my ills on this world I was in. Surface relationships used me till I was done in. And all the while someone was begging to free me from sin. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Was there all the time. Never again will I look for a fake rainbow's end. Now that I have the answer, my life is just starting to rhyme. Sharing each new day with him is a cup of fresh life. Oh, what I missed. He's been waiting right there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there. Waiting patiently in line, he was there all the time.
Amen. Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate that reminder. We serve an awesome God. Amen. He is faithful and true. We never have to wonder if God will come through, right? Anyway, greetings in the name of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I trust you've had a good week and that it has been profitable in your walk with the Lord. Hopefully today our walk can get better. And we always have that possibility each and every day that God gives us of His grace, that we can enjoy our walk with Him more and more and be more fruitful and effective in our lives for Him. So with that in mind, our title today, actually several weeks ago, I chose today as Evangelism Sunday, or the emphasis on evangelism. And so the title today is Leading a Soul to Christ from Paul's Letter to the Romans. But welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church. If you're here today visiting, or you've been a lifelong member here, or a tender, we're glad you're here, and hopefully this day will make a difference in all of our lives as we again go to the Word of God for help. Just a couple little things in addition that you can look forward to. Our book studies will end tonight, but next Sunday night we're going to have a film night, and that may require some adjustments for length of time. The film is Sabina, and it comes from Voice of the Martyrs, and I believe that you'll find that it's a profitable film. Also, next Sunday, as was mentioned, is our Fellowship Sunday for lunch, so come prepared for that. But also, it is going to be the children's message every other month on the last Sunday of the month. So that's what's coming on that. And then I am hoping, unless something intervenes, to begin preaching a short series on Islam and its effect in our modern-day world, that we not be uninformed or ignorant of things, but that we have a good idea what's going on in our worldview and how God's Word, the Bible, addresses those things. So, we're going to go to prayer this morning, and thank you, Doug, for that song and the reminder. And I'm just going to say this, you know, the gathering of the church is not just for the preaching of the Word. It's not just for a hired speaker to come in and put everyone to sleep. But the gathering of the church is for the edification of the saints, all of us here today. So I'm just going to throw an offer on the table. If you can do it in 3 minutes or less after I pray, would someone like to come up on this personal evangelism Sunday and give their testimony, their salvation testimony? Most of you have heard mine. I give it from time to time. It's actually on the website. But if there'd be a brave soul today, they'd be willing. Otherwise, we'll go right into the Word, but let's go to prayer. Father, thank you for this day. May this day not be a wasted effort. Lord, you know the hearts of the people, and you know mine, Lord, and you know the motives and the dark things of our hearts. But today, Lord, I pray that the light of the gospel would be turned on and would be reinvigorated and reignited, even in the believers, Lord, that we would have a zeal to win the lost, to care about the souls of people. And we know this, Lord, that your great commission has told us we need to be involved in loving people and showing them how to be saved. Lord, this message today is just one spot in Scripture that we can look to, but it gives the fundamental elements. Lord, I ask your forgiveness on my behalf, but I think on also all the people. We're lax in these areas, Lord. We're not diligent about winning souls to Christ. So, Father, help us today. May this be a refresh time. May it be a new beginning for others as we see again, Lord, your will for people, and that you would not have any to perish, but all would come to repentance and to be born again in the blood of the Lamb. So, Father, help us in those areas, I pray. Now, Lord, we pray for those that are not here today as well for various reasons. And, Lord, again, you know the hearts. We leave them in your authority, but we know there are many people, Lord, that not only have physical ailments, but spiritual ailments. But we know that you are the great physician, and you're the place that we can run to for healing. Now, I pray you'll bless our time in the Word and help this poor fool. And that's what Paul said, only a fool would preach. But, Lord, that you'd bless this poor fool as we look into your Word today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I yield the pulpit for 3 minutes to someone with a personal evangelism, salvation testimony. Going once, going twice. Autumn, thank you.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And when I was a little kid, Mom and Dad always brought us to church. We came to Fruitland Baptist Church all of my life, even before I was born. So I've heard about God all my life and just took it for granted and assumed that God was real and never really doubted that. All my childhood, when I was 4 years old, I said a prayer and asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I thought that was all I needed to do, and I was saved. But then, when I was a high schooler, I got into some trouble and started hanging out with a poor influence, people that were of a poor influence. And things were not going well, and I was living a double life. One at school and church, doing righteous things, and one at night in the dark, doing ungodly things. As we all know, sin, you know, that occurs in darkness. Darkness loves darkness. It tells us in John chapter 3. But one evening I was driving in my car and I felt this weight in my stomach. And it was just a feeling of dread and sickness. And I turned around my car and didn't go where I was going to go. And I went to a friend's house because her parents were recently born again and just loved the Lord. And I wanted to tell someone about what was going on in my life and get some help. And I didn't want to go to my parents because I didn't want them to know the things that I had been involved in because I was so ashamed. But these good people, they talked with me and they encouraged me to tell my parents within a week or they were going to tell them for me. And I did. But one thing they said to me before I left that night was, "Are you sure you're saved?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I asked Jesus into my heart when I was four." And after talking to my parents and grounding myself, basically, I didn't even wait for Mom and Dad to give me a punishment. I said, "I have to be grounded for 3 months because I had to sever the tie with this darkness, the people that I was spending time with." And I was on my way to McDonald's to work the next night. And just before the stoplight to turn left onto the bypass there, it just hit me. I don't have Jesus. I only said some words in that prayer when I was 4 years old. I didn't know what I was saying. I just said the words that everyone said to say. And so I said, "God, I believe in you. I believe Jesus is God. And I believe he died on the cross and rose from the dead." He said, "Please forgive me, God, and save me." And Jesus has been my Lord ever since, and it has been wonderful. And if you don't know Jesus, don't wait. You're missing out on a good, rich life. Because the Christian life is not just hoity-toity, be good. It is full and wonderful and good, and you'll never regret it. And it will take you to heaven on Jesus' blood and his merit.
Amen. Thanks, Amen. That's a wonderful testimony. I remember after those things happened in your life, Autumn, things changed, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that this morning. But I'll tell you what, folks, in many cases, we're all led to Christ through the Holy Spirit, and that's who really led you. But God uses catalysts for the Holy Spirit in us, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And I'd love to share my testimony. I have many times. I think it's on the website, I think. But I was saved when I was 7. But, you know, I really am still trying to hit my stride with Jesus Christ, growing. And we have help here at Fruitland. You know, Tuesday night is one of those times, personal evangelism. If you're afraid or you'd like to have some hands-on experience, come out. Have someone that God's laid on your heart. We'll go talk to them. You know, not hammering them or thumping them with a Bible, but taking an interest in people. Thanks, Autumn. I better get back to business here because I am hired to speak today, you know. Okay. Thank the Lord I didn't trip when I ran up there. Anyway, friends in Christ, as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian under Jesus' Great Commission teachings, every one of us should be concerned for the souls of the lost. Destined for hell's destruction. You know, a lot of good people are going to go to hell. And a lot of bad people that are under Christ's blood are going to go to heaven. And it's because, again, We need to be concerned for souls that are destined for hell's destruction because of the love of God for people that He demonstrated to us on the cross at Calvary. We are called to be His ambassadors in 2 Corinthians 5:20, and we know from Proverbs 11:30b that the winning of souls is wise. Every one of us should be prepared with a basic plan from Scripture to win a soul to Christ. Maybe some people have never done that. You can make a little list. You can practice it. You can use it as you go out. There are many different ways. But we ought to be prepared with a basic plan to win a soul to Christ. I believe this, friends, that every book of the Bible has the critical formula of the gospel presentation, so you could have a plan from each book, if you choose to, of the Bible, and some in multiple ways. Now, I'm going to tell you where I usually send people, and some of you may not have this favorite place, but the book of Romans is one of my favorites. And one of the other themes of the book of Romans is the gospel of God. Now, the other key book is John, but let me assure you, every book in the Bible has the salvation message in it. And you can win a soul to Christ from, and it has to be by His Word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. But you can win a soul to Christ from every book in the Bible. The message is there. Do you have the message? That's the thing that is very important. An old classic, though, is called The Romans Road. How many of you have ever heard of that? Yeah. And we will explore the basics on that today. I have it a little differently here. But Paul wrote this text to the believers at Rome. And the believers at Rome were just probably a house church. It was just a gathering of Christians. Paul dearly wanted to get to Rome. He eventually got there, but he was writing to them of his anticipated joy of coming there. And he wrote the text of this gospel message to sinners at the church in Rome that had been born again through the blood of Christ in anticipation of He being there in real life to fellowship with them. So today's illustrations are alliterated with our words because of the theme in the book of Romans about the basics. So let's be encouraged and equipped in our soul winning this morning. Amen? And I got to straighten this up. I'm a straight arrow kind of a person. Anyway, let's begin. You have a note sheet, I assume, that you may have received this morning. It was not in your bulletins, but it was on the back table. And again, we're glad for everyone that's here. And so the first blank that we're going to look at, and we will be looking in the book of Romans today, and beginning with chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, if you have your device or your paper Bible with you today. The first thing that we have to understand to be a soul winner, to go out and to reach people, is that we need to be ready. Let's see what Paul said. Again, I wish we could sit here all day and look through Paul's writings. You and I can on our own time, but today we've got to hit the high points. But there's much more there that is important to read. We want to look at verses 15 through 17 of Romans chapter 1. And I've got to go back there. Usually I put my message in where I'm going to start, but I didn't today. But you can read the background that Paul had as he wrote this letter to the believers in Rome. But here's the key about being ready today. And by the way, we should always be ready for anything, shouldn't we? But so much the more to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Here it is. Paul said, "So much as is in me," meaning what? Paul's fervor in his life was to love the Lord Jesus Christ and to love people and to share the gospel. You remember how Paul was dynamically saved on the road to Damascus. He had a salvation testimony and an experience with Jesus Christ. I want to ask us all today, and I have to pick on you here, Autumn, a little bit. There might be people in this room that said, "Well, yeah, I prayed the sinner's prayer. I asked Jesus into my heart." But that's not how we're saved. We're saved by acknowledging we're a sinner, unable to do anything for ourselves to make us right before God, and that Jesus, out of His love, went to the cross of Calvary and died bearing my sins. And when we place our faith, or we believe, or trust in what He did, that's how we're born again. And it's genuine. Everything else is superficial. I believe fully, and it could be the case here at Fruitland, many of our churches today are dead and cold because the people in them are not saved. They're not truly born again. They've been deluded. They think they are, but they're not. And that's exactly where Satan wants you this morning. He wants you going through the motions, but not having the real deal. Sorry about that. I had to take that little pause. We've got to be ready. Number one, you can't reach anyone if you're not born again yourself. That doesn't mean, though, that unsaved people haven't led people to Christ. You know, by the way, no one should be ashamed here this morning. We're going to hear from Paul. If you're not born again today, if you're not saved, don't mess around with that. I am going to be so thankful, and God, that's the important thing, and others, if you truly get saved. You know, when you go to Bible college and seminary, every year there's a large percentage of people. We have an event, there is usually an evangelistic week. And right now, he's passed into eternity, but he was a hellfire and brimstone preacher that would come up to faith. And every year, there'd be maybe 20 students in Bible college that got saved. Praise God! You think that's not an intimidating thing? To be in an institution like that where you've had to sign your name on the dotted line that you're a born-again Christian, and then it's revealed by the Spirit to your heart that you're not, and you got to get saved at Bible college. Praise God! Praise God if someone would be saved here at Fruitland this morning. Maybe you've gone here 70 years. No, you couldn't have, but you get what I'm saying. Today's the day of salvation. Paul says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, that receives it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To everyone. We live in the day where everyone can be saved. Whosoever will. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith. What Paul's saying there, every person that's saved one at a time reveals salvation. The salvation of God that's been received by faith. We're like a long chain that runs through the Bible. Salvation is always by grace through faith or trust in Jesus Christ. Plus, zippo. That's how we're saved. That's how we're born again. Nothing that we can do. Well, to be ready. First of all, there are several components to that. First of all, as I said, we need to be saved ourselves. But also, we need to be led with a burden of love for people's souls. A burden of love for people's souls. Led. If I could speak to you today, if you don't go out and try to reach people for Christ, you're not in love with people. You're in love with yourself. I've heard people describe this in the past. They call it big feeling. I wouldn't doubt there's people with big feelings in here in this room this morning. They're too stuck on themselves to place themselves in a position of jeopardy to witness to someone about Jesus. They camouflage it and say, I'm afraid, I don't know how, and all kinds of other excuses. Folks, today you'll know how from the book of Romans, at least as I am going to preach it. But it's from the Bible. A burden of love for the lost. And folks, for a specific people and place. In this case, Paul had a burden for who? The Roman citizens. Did Paul have a mission field with Rome? Absolutely. The Roman Empire, like all empires, ungodly, vile, wretched. Paul knew the place. He was sent many places, but he had a specific love and knew where he was to be with people and places. Do you and I today? And the second thing, or third thing about Paul is, he was prepared to deliver the goods. In this case, the good news. Paul had a zeal to reach out to people, and he was prepared. By the way, being prepared to win a soul doesn't come automatically. It requires our own spiritual preparation. And lacking that spiritual preparation, you know, I've preached a message in times past that was alliterated with P's, but one of those in there is preparation. Another P that I'll throw out here too along with this is not only preparation in the Word, but preparation in, tell me,
prayer.
Thank you. And you can go right on down the line. If you're not prepared, and by the way, a lot of people don't prepare because they don't want to be in that position. Fair enough? By the way, delivery and being prepared means to, as he says it here, he was ready to preach. But preach means to compel or persuade someone that is lost. My preaching today should not just be the delivery of a message, but there should be a component of it today that has a sense of urgency for all of us to hear, including myself, to compel us to action. And we need to have good arguments for why people need to be saved. It's called a winsome heart. And my friends, it is not found a lot in our current day because of the reason I mentioned last week. Because iniquity abounds, Matthew 24:12. The love of many shall, Jesus said 2,000 years ago, grow cold. But today it's gone cold. And that's where you're at today. But it doesn't have to be. Second point today. The reality of sin exposed. You can't get someone saved unless they know they need to be saved. Right? Our world today has a message that's been preached for a long time that says man is basically good. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says man is bad. It didn't happen by our choice specifically, but we're tied to a guy named Adam who made a bad choice. He is responsible. We're genetically tied to him. Therefore, we have the potential in us to do terrible things. And we are not right with God by our very makeup. The reality of sin is exposed. Unless you can tell people the reality and the possibilities of what happens because of our sin, they will not come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Autumn, I hate to pick on you, but your testimony showed that very thing. The Holy Spirit put the spotlight and said, you're not right. Okay? Let's go to Romans 1:32. I just got to hit this very gently this morning. Not gently, but I have to only go quickly. Romans 1:32. Read what Paul wrote before this. Romans 1 is a passage, I'll tell you what, it speaks to today totally. It speaks to the whole package of what's going on in our world that's always gone on in our world. And here's how Paul sums it up in 32. He says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only physical death, but eternal spiritual death. We deserve it. Jesus gave us the pass. Not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You see, when you wrap up of all of Paul's teachings here, we're an ugly bunch of people. But Jesus is an ultimate, beautiful Savior. Chapter 3, 9 through 23. These are basic texts. You don't have to use every verse, but it's there. Chapter 3, 9 through 23. Paul says this, what then, are we better than they? No, in no wise. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, the two classes in the world of people. I won't explain all that today, but notice what he says at the end of verse 9, that they are all under sin. It's not some that are better than others. We're all in the same boat. As it is written, these are pretty tough words. And you know what? Someone may reject the Bible, but you can't. You have to at least tell them what it says. And it says in my Bible, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. None. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. You know what? If someone will explore that that's unsaved, and the Spirit empowers and calls them to be saved, when they stop and look at their life, they're going to say, you know what, that's right, I'm not really a good person. I have problems. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. That's the natural state of man. If you're witnessing to someone that's unsaved, in their natural state, they are not looking for God. They're looking for ways to avoid Him. They believe in Him, and they don't want anything to do with Him. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. Poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift. I'm having trouble this morning. Help me, Lord. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. By the way, one of the most attractive things you can offer today to people is peace. Because let's face it today, I have peace in Jesus Christ, but with the rest of the stuff that's going on in our day, it's hard to have peace about it, isn't it? Only through Jesus Christ. And the way of peace have they not known. And look at verse 18. There is no what? Fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. It's this simple, folks. When you go to someone, can you keep the law? And the answer is no. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. How do we approach that? There is a law to this universe, folks, and it is God's law, and we cannot refute it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. God's been trying to get a hold of people's hearts for a long time, and he's not done yet. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's your key verse right there. I read extra this morning, but there's your arguments. It's rock solid. We're not right. We need the Lord. The reality of sin exposed. Point three this morning. The offer of redemption through Jesus' work on our behalf. Oh, I didn't finish. Hold on. I got to finish this. Romans 5:12 on point two. I got to give you your money's worth today. Here's a base verse when you witness to people about sin and how it became and why it is the way it is. Wherefore, as by one man, who was that man? But it was Eve that did it, right? Adam was responsible for the whole thing. And he did it too. We could have a whole message for a day over that. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, it was never God's will that sin entered into this world. You'll be asked that question. Why did God let that happen? Because he gives man free choice and free will. We have big responsibilities because God's given it to us. That's a key question. Adam chose it. God told him not to, but he chose it. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Key verse. Romans 5:12, also 18, while we're close. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, that being Jesus, the God-man, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And lastly, one of my favorite verses, Romans 6:23, and only A on this one. For the wages of sin is death. But, and we'll get to that later, and I say this and raise, thank God for buts. It's a conjunction, because it's not the rest of the story. And we'll get to that in just a minute. Romans 6:23. Now, point three, the offer of redemption through Jesus' work on our behalf. Romans 3:24 and 25. Romans 3:24 and 25. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. By the way, redemption is what? Being bought back from the slave market of sin. We're redeemed, bought back. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That word propitiation, that's a tough word. It's a good old King James word, but what that means, it's Jesus' wrath-removing sacrifice. And folks, you can't go up to someone and tell them, Jesus is your propitiation, because in our modern day, they're going to say, what? What's that? I never heard. So we need to be able to tell them what? Jesus is the one who took our wrath upon him in our place. That's the key. To declare his righteousness for the remission. By the way, remission means what? Captain, down at the postal office, when you mail a letter, you don't do it probably anymore if it's all automatic. You take something and you do what with that letter that says that it's been received, the stamp, the postage has been paid, and it's what?
It's
canceled.
Well, the stamp is canceled, yeah.
Correct. Cancellation. Meaning what?
You can't use it again. It's a one-time deal.
One and done. Same with our salvation, right? Once for all, Jesus canceled.
Because there's only one cancellation.
One cancellation. Isn't it beautiful what Paul wrote here to the the Corinthians too? For the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Forbearance means what simply?
Putting off.
Jesus did that in our place. Chapter 4, 3 and 5, we got to go fast. Chapter 4, 3 and 5. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It's the biggest bugaboo there is that Satan throws out. You've got to do something to contribute to your salvation. Sorry, folks. And I'm thankful that Jesus paid it all. All we must do is receive it, believe it. That's going to be another big question you'll run into with people. 5, 6, and 8. Isn't the book of Romans wonderful? Romans 5, 6, and 8. And you're all probably, he's missed one of my favorite verses. Well, then use it. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man someone even dare to die. Christ died for our sins. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then part B of Romans 6:23, part A, for the wages of sin is death, but is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The offer of redemption through Jesus' work on our behalf. We've got to show them what Jesus has done for us. Point 4. Response and reception of those witnessed to. Now, you know, what I like to do is I like to let people consider this. I don't push them into something, making some kind of a decision. Because Autumn, just like you said, let the Holy Spirit do it. He'll do it. You can help them. That's like when we have an altar call here at Fruitland every week. I can't save you, but I can show you the Scriptures. But the Holy Spirit will teach us. He'll guide us. He'll call us. It's His responsibility. I don't proclaim people saved or not saved. I have not got that authority. In fact, I'm told not to do it. But you and I both know. We know where we're at today. But we are responsible for them to at least have the opportunity to make a response, and that they have received what we've shared with them. Romans 10, 8 through 13. Hang on a minute, I've got to turn a few pages. Romans 10, 8 through 13. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, or near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. By the way, the heart communicates through the mouth. If you don't have it in your heart, it won't come out in your mouth. What's in your heart will come out in your mouth. And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The gospel message is not complicated. It's a heartfelt message. It requires us to know intellectually what has taken place, but it causes us to proclaim it physically, what has taken place. Whether we verbally say it or say it to the Lord in our inner self. By the way, do we have an inner voice? Some of us may even talk to ourselves at times. Some of my favorite phrases, John, you dummy. Through 13. For with the heart, I read that. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. If you're in some kind of trouble today, and I'm not a swimmer, if you're out in the middle of the ocean and you want to be saved, what are you going to do? Help me! Jesus, I'm drowning in my sin. Help me! He'll answer the call. You don't have to make it perfect. You don't have to put it in King James English. Jesus will hear your call. A response and a reception of those that are witnessed to. And last point. Remember our responsibility. We're not just doing this freelance. We have marching orders. By the way, how am I going to answer you when you ask me someday, why were you not more proactive? And the only answer that I'd come up with is, Lord, I was wrong, and I have trouble. And I think Jesus will say, I understand that, John. But when we knowingly know we're not doing what we ought to do, that's not right. Romans 10, 14, 15, and 17 says the following. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a... I'm a pastor. Part of my duties and privilege is preaching, which you all say it isn't very good. But you're all on the hot spot too. And I'm not going to make a judgment call on that, but you know and I know. Preaching is compelling in a dynamic way for people to respond. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. No, my feet are ugly, but our feet can be beautiful when we'll step out one step at a time toward people for Jesus. And then verse 17. So then faith comes, I alluded to this earlier, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Folks, it's our responsibility to get the word out to people that they might be saved. Bottom line, we need to remember our responsibilities. We are not off the hook by the grace of God. Even though His grace still prevails, He has expectations of us. Have you and I disappointed Him even this day? In my case, probably. That's up to you to decide before Him. Well, folks, that pretty well sums it up. Here's the conclusion, and it's time for dinner. Friends, by the way, dinner can wait. Our dinner's burnt quite a few times, and that's fine. I'd rather have our dinner burnt than someone's soul burn in hell. Even though we're having this crazy business meeting stuff today, if you need help, they'll figure a way to get the meeting done. I'll talk to you. Or someone here that's been born again and cares about you will talk to you this day before you leave this place. Friends, who might need Jesus' salvation this morning that is here? You've heard the message here this morning. Who here today may need to admit they have no fervor to win the lost and need to repent? By the way, the word repent means to take a 180-degree turn around and be cleansed and changed. I admit to you, folks, I struggle in these areas myself. He that winneth souls is wise. What more do you want me to add to that? It pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? I don't like to use the word dumb because it's not properly used when you use it, but are you and I stupid? It's pretty clear. It can change now, today, if we will let ourselves go and let God. I've said all I've got to say. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand, or it's on the screen. Today, I will not be greeting folks at the door today. If you have a need, I'd ask you to wait until after the meeting. But today, Amazing Grace, verses 1 and 2 of 187. Again today, God is willing to meet with you. He's ready. If the Spirit's calling your heart today, if you need to be saved, you need to be reinvigorated, you need to be forgiven, restored into a walk with God, today's the day. Make it public. What's the use of hiding our candle under a bushel? Let's let the light shine. You'll walk out of here refreshed and a new person this day. It can happen by going to the foot of the throne of Jesus. Amazing Grace, that's what it's all about, folks. Verse 1 and 2, you come today if you're led, don't put it off. I'm not going to beg you, but I certainly, I encourage you to set it straight with God this day and to be productive in His harvest field. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Amen.
Once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. You know, this date will never come again in history. Today is the 18th of September in the year of our Lord 2022. Is it going to be a day that's written in history for you and the Lord today? What will you do with Jesus this day? Every day has its purpose. Every time has its reason. Verse 2. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Father, again today, we've seen the proclamation of your amazing grace set before us. I pray today that you'll work, Lord, in the hearts of all believers here and unbelievers that may be here possibly today, Lord, and in my heart in particular. Lord, that we'd have a renewed zeal to win the lost and to be out there in the harvest field, Lord, actively pursuing souls. He that winneth souls is wise. Now, Lord, I pray you'll work in the hearts of the people. May you bless and superintend over the balance of this day that you've given us. And, Lord, also for our short business meeting here today, but, Lord, if there is one that needs something today and they have a question, I'd love, or others here would love, to share that with them, and my door is open to them at any time. Now, dismiss us, I pray, with your blessing. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. You are dismissed.